Brace yourself. You're about to enter the Skull Hole, where we talk anything and everything Minnesota Vikings. Don't forget to bring a change of clothes. It might get dirty. Here are your hosts, Draft Season's Own, One Bar, and Lus.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Skull Hole. I'm One Bar, joined with a sleepy, hungover Lupagus.
Yeah, it's officially the saddest time of the year, the most depressing time of the year. All the months of speculating and anticipating are over. Not only am I hungover, but I'm also very sad because the draft is over.
Yeah, with the draft over, months of just NFL draft man crushes, digging in all these guys, and it's all done. All the guys we loved and wanted are on different teams. But the Vikings do have 12 new brand new players, and in today's podcast, we're going to get to know them a little bit, and we're gonna give these Vikings an overall draft grade when we're all said and done.
Let's hold these guys down and get them wet and figure out what makes them tick. Let's talk about them.
Oh, my God. Well, the big boy, Garrett Bradbury, round one, NC State center.
Yeah.
He's ours.
Yeah, huge. You know, this is a huge value for the Vikings. He's going to basically fill two needs with one pick, moving Elfline over to guard. He's going to be our center for the next 10 years. Everybody get used to this guy. He's going to be the anchor of this line. Great run blocker, great pass defender. I mean, this guy is going to be just everything we need up front.
Yeah, it's tough to get excited about a center in round one, but damn it, this is a good reason. He's good, so be excited. He's going to make this line
so much better.
Fantastic.
Yep, you're right.
So round two, another steal in my mind. I would say the third best tight end in the draft, and you gotta remember the first two are just flat out awesome with Fant and Hockenson. So being the third best in this draft is no slight. Irv Smith Jr., Alabama.
Yeah, this kid's only 20 years old. He's got good size, speed, sticky hands. He's going to be a real mismatch all over the field. You know, pairing him up against a linebacker or something, he's going to win that battle every single time. The thing here now, you got to look at what Kyle Rudolph. Is he going to stick around on this team? There's some rumblings going around that he doesn't, you know, he's not going to play out his current contract. And, so maybe he's on the move as much. I would love to see these two play together. This could spell the end of Rudolph and his time in Minnesota.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one to watch in the coming weeks and months. Obviously, Rudolph with that contract, with his age, we got to get all these guys signed, so that's where everybody looks to. But I think he loves his time in Minnesota here. He's a fan favorite. Hopefully they work something out so we can see those guys in the field at the same time. But Irv Smith should get everybody pretty excited. He does have the ability to come in as a rookie if needed to be that number one guy. I think he put up some big numbers. And when he scores his first Vikings touchdown,
what are you going
to
say?
I'm going to say, holy shit, what a catch by the Alabama Slammer.
I think I might have had a couple of those last night, a couple of Alabama Slammers.
I think you did. I think you did, right off the bathroom floor of the landing.
Yeah, so guys, stay away from Alabama Slammers.
All right, let's go to round three.
Yeah, we took the Boise State running back. The guy I was not familiar with, and I was not immediately happy with this pick, Alexander Mattison.
Yeah, but 7 minutes afterwards, I think he grew on you.
Took a full night of sleep, to be
honest. Full night of sleep. Look at some tape. I mean, he's going to be able to – he's a tough runner. He's a bowling ball. He can get the tough yards. He's going to be able to step in day one and kind of take over where Latavius Murray left the hole. And I think he's going to see a lot of playing time as a rookie.
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be fun to watch. He's going to get those short yards, get those goal line touches. And, I mean, this guy is powerful. He likes to leap. He's kind of a...
Boing, boing.
He could be our version of Marshawn Lynch. Let's go that way.
Oh, my God. That's high praise for Mr. Mattison. What are you going to say the first time he scores a touchdown?
I'm going to say, yay, touchdown.
Oh, that was odd. yeah, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
He can.
So, yeah. Mattison...
Welcome.
Very excited.
I am too.
Round four, pick 114. We traded up a few picks. We had to have this guy, and I'm very excited that they did because he's a guy that could have easily went in round three. Drew Samia, guard, Oklahoma.
Yeah, we'll go with Samia. Big guy. He's like 6'5", I think, 300-something pounds. He started out as a right tackle early in his career, but he's definitely going to be a guard, and I think this is somebody who could push our big free agent signing for playing time.
Yeah, he's, like I said, huge value, very athletic for a guard, moved over from right tackle, and the best part about it is everybody seems to love him. Coaches, teammates, they just praise this guy. He's got accolades, and he was on one of the best offensive
linemen.
He's on one of the best offensive linemen or lines in the nation.
Yeah. So, Drew Samia, welcome. If I was drinking right now, I'll give you a Skull Hole sip.
Yeah, I think Josh Klein should be shaking in his little booties because Samia definitely... could give him a run for his money early.
His cowboy boots.
Worst case, he offers some good depth year one. And good depth. I totally think he'll be able to take over a spot year two.
Good depth. Trey, great depth.
Great depth.
All right, let's move on to round five.
Round five, we traded back a few picks on this one, and we ended up with Cameron Smith, linebacker from USC.
Yeah, you know, as much as Cameron's going to be a great special teamer and a backup linebacker for us, I feel like there was someone else the Vikings were hoping to land here.
Oh, are you talking about Cash Money Cashman?
Mm-hmm.
We got sniped. The Jets took Cashman two picks before us, and I think we got a little too comfy and traded back. This is just gut feeling. We haven't actually seen anything about this.
No, we haven't. But for us, there'll always be a black cloud floating around Cameron Smith's head.
Oh, wow.
And maybe a little bit around his middle parts.
Well, I'm over that part already. It would have been nice to have Cashman on the team. But when you look at Cameron Smith, ton of experience, four-year starter at USC, going against some of the top talent in the nation. He's not the most athletic guy. He's going to be a special teamer. And who knows, maybe in a year or two he could maybe push for a spot, but I think he's just going to be a depth guy on special teams.
I agree.
All right. Ben Gideon should not be shaking in his boots.
No, and I don't think he is.
Oh. Round six, this is where we get our triple headers, I like to call it, three picks and four picks.
Yeah, you've always called it that.
The old triple header.
You said,
and
boy.
It started off with Armin Watts, D-tackle, Arkansas.
Yeah, this guy seems to be more of a run stuffer, but he can get in the backfield a little bit. What do you have, seven career sacks? Seven sacks last year.
Seven sacks last year. He's 6'5", 300 pounds. The weird part with this guy is he never really seemed to play until his senior year. He was just kind of a backup at Arkansas. So,
well, a lot of untapped potential here, so maybe this is a gem that is still in the charcoal formation.
Ooh, I'd call it an amethyst.
I want to hear more about this triple header. What's the second part of it?
Well, Watts, like I said, seven sacks, three forced fumbles, and I see him as more of a depth reserve guy. And I was actually surprised they waited this long to take a D-tackle.
Yeah, I definitely thought they'd be going, you know, round two, round three, looking at D-tackles there, but it's just not the way the board fell for them this year.
Yes. So, yes, moving on into this triple header, we ended up with a safety from Wyoming.
And, Andrew Wingard?
No. But when I saw the safety from Wyoming on the screen, I got very excited. My parts started to get to the point of explosion, and then I saw Marcus Epps instead of Andrew Wingard. Who would have thought there was another safety from Wyoming that would get drafted?
Yeah, it's shocking. It really is. I didn't know this guy was even existed.
No relation to Omar Epps, by the way.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we were digging around. We really wanted him to be related to Omar Epps. But he's a pretty athletic guy. Was he 6'1", 190 pounds, kind of long, lanky defender, the way Zim likes those guys. Again, I think he's a long shot to make the team, but he will provide some depth at safety if he does.
Yeah, he's a former walk-on and very undersized for an NFL safety at only 190 pounds. But a little bit of a ball hawk. He had 9 career interceptions. And the best part about him is he seemed to get better every year at Wyoming. So who knows? Best case for Epps is practice squad.
You know why he only had 9 career interceptions at Wyoming?
Why?
Because Andrew Wingard was taking the rest.
Oh, God. Andrew Wingard, by the way, is a Jacksonville Jaguar undrafted.
I don't think anybody cares where he is.
I do. And I'm going to bring him up every damn time or every chance I can.
I guess he'll have a black cloud always around
Marcus Epps.
I was going to say Omar.
All right, round six, or the final part of our triple header in round six. I'm going to butcher his name. It's going to take a while, but Olisa Mecca Udo, offensive tackle from Elon. I'll get it down.
Yeah, it's not. That's probably pretty close.
No, I don't think it was close.
Oh, this guy's super experienced. He's started like every game he ever played for Elon. We need a backup tackle, so it definitely makes sense. Again, he's going to be raw. He's going to need some time to get acclimated to the NFL game, but with only Rashad Hill as a real backup and Storm Norton.
Whoa, yeah, okay. Don't forget about Storm Norton.
Sorry, and Storm Norton.
Shame on you.
Of the later picks, this guy might have the easiest path to making this team.
Yeah, he's got project written all over him. He's 6'5", 323 pounds of monsterness, and I think that's what his big draw was, and they're going to hope to mold him into a good tackle. And I think best case for him is a backup tackle in the NFL, but we'll see. I think he's got practice squad written all over him.
Yes,
we'll get it down. We got Ofetabel. Oh, God, now I messed up his name.
Yeah, you did. Let's just move on to the Iofiti. Fourth part of the triple header.
There is no fourth part of the triple header. I was surprised that they took Udo over Isaiah Prince, who was still on the board, and Kelvin Harmon.
Don't get me started on the Kevin Harmon skipping.
I just want to throw that out there. I was a little surprised, but we'll see. Hopefully it pans out. So, all right, round seven. A little bit of a steal here. We got Chris Boyd, cornerback from Texas. Projected fourth, fifth round guy. So this was fantastic. He did play with Holton Hill, started 33 career games, and he was at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he... you know, Zimmer got his corner that he wanted. So this guy was in a lot of guys' top 100 players in the draft. So to get him where we did in round seven, it's a huge value. You know, you try to look, is he going to make the team or not? It's hard to say. Hopefully he can at least get on the practice squad and, you know, we can pull him up there if we ever need him. So.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a dark horse to make the squad. But this is one of the bigger surprises that we waited so long for corner. We know how they love their cornerbacks. For to wait till round seven.
I'm glad they did.
Well done. So am I.
It was well done.
Very, very happy that they did that.
Yep.
All right. Next pick in round seven was wide receiver from Oregon, Dylan Mitchell.
Dylan Mitchell, 6'2". He can run 4.4 40. You know, he's got some decent hands on him. He can sit down in open zones. He's going to help out the quarterback. So I actually, the more I looked at this guy, the more I liked him. And I think he's going to be one of those guys who goes in and competes to be the wide receiver three for this team.
Wow.
I'm not going to call him a favorite or anything, but he should have just as much of a shot as anybody else because there's kind of some turds that are fighting for that spot.
Are you still drunk?
I wish.
Because you got very high hopes for Dylan Mitchell. I hope they come to fruition.
I didn't say he was going to be. I said he can compete for it. That's not that high a hope.
Well, he was definitely Oregon's number one of their number one offensive weapons. He had 75 catches, almost 1,200 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Lance Zierlein's write-up of him at NFL.com was not very nice, though.
Who the hell is Lance Zierlein anyway?
He said, he quoted, "He isn't big, has average speed, and loses focus catching the ball. But damn it. That's going to be motivation."
I would say a 4.4 40 is more than average speed, but
game speed, we'll see. A little bit different.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, we go back-to-back at receiver after waiting until round seven to take any of them, which, again, was a little bit of a surprise.
Yes, it really was.
But we end up with Olabosi Johnson, wide receiver from Colorado State, known as the Kilabosi.
Is that the same name as that tackle we took?
No, he's much different and different position.
I got some intel on this guy last night at the bar. Some girl came out to me and said, hey, she knew about Skull Hole and who we were. And she just said, you guys drafted my brother's best friend. And I said, who's that? And she said his name. And I said, who's that? And then anyway, she said he's really good. So supposedly from the girl at the bar, this guy's awesome.
Wow. You know how I know she was wasted? Because there was a girl talking to you at the bar.
Well, I was with, like, Tom.
Oh, God, yeah, he's really good looking. Yeah, not a ton for this guy. I mean, he had 54 catches last year, 4 touchdowns, very smart, and he does play special teams. He returns punts and kicks, so I like Dylan Mitchell making it over him, but who knows? Who knows what the Kilabosi will offer?
Kilabosi is going to be in the mix, too. He should have just as much of a shot as anybody else competing for that spot. Who we end up with as our 5 receivers this season is going to be very interesting. I'm excited to see that battle shake out in camp.
Yeah, it's tough to get excited about late round Vikings receivers because we seem to have swung and missed quite a bit. Aside from Stephon Diggs, obviously, but Rodney Adams, Stacy Coley,
Andre Allison.
We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully he breaks the trend. One of these guys breaks the trend, the recent trend.
Kilabosi, I really like that. I hope he makes a team.
Did you just come up with that?
Yes.
I don't really get it, but I think it was his Twitter handle.
Kilabosi? So.
Oh,
Hog.
I got it now.
All right. All right. We had one more final pick. And you know who we had to have?
I once fit 3 kielbasas in my mouth at the same time. And they were still breathing.
We had to have a long snapper from Air Force, Austin Cutting. I thought that was a mistake when that went on the screen.
No, this, you know what this pick screamed? We have no money and we can't sign this guy. So we're going to draft a guy from Air Force who can't play for 2 years anyway.
Well, yeah, there's not a ton to say. I mean, when he isn't long snapping, he's playing linebacker. And
saving our country. And,
yes, you're damn right. I don't know. Like you said, there's a 2-year commitment that he's got to do. Maybe he's the heir apparent to Kevin McDermott.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many years left does old Nine Fingers have?
I don't know. He's not a spring chicken by any means. So
maybe in 2 years his contract's up, and that's when the cutting room floor happens.
This could be a great story. A great story. We take a long snapper that is very... Was he the only long snapper drafted? I don't know.
I think so.
But we have a pretty decent long snapper, McDermott, and yet we took one, so who knows? Maybe he'll be waiting in the wings.
In the wing guards.
In the wing guards. Wing guards is making plays for the Jags.
Yeah, he's got nothing to worry about. It's going to be a couple of years till we see Cutting make his way to purple.
So. Let's be clear. We might never see Cutting in purple.
We might just cut him.
Oh, my God. All right. So those are our picks. We got 12 new guys, and I would say that upper half was very, very sexy. And the second half is just a lot of depth.
Yeah.
Possible
that's
gems.
That's one way to say it. Top half was beautiful.
Just like me.
The bottom half was disgusting.
They're just like me.
So basically, this is the one bar of drafts we got, draft classes.
So before we get into our overall grade for the Vikings, what would you say is just any big surprises that stood out, the way the Vikings went, players they took, anything that really sticks out to you?
Well, to me, the biggest surprise, there was a couple guys who fell late into day three. Kelvin Harmon, Charles Omenihu, Blake Cashman. I thought these were all guys the Vikings would have looked at much earlier in the draft. And they clearly didn't like any of them because they didn't take any of them. So that, to me, was kind of a big surprise. I thought those guys would have been someone they really would have been after.
Yeah, big takeaway surprise for me is just concentrating on offense for the first four picks with Zimmer and this team. That's pretty rare that comes along, but they did absolutely nail those picks. Also, waiting so long for a receiver, waiting until round 7 when we still really don't have an established number 3. I guess I wish they would have maybe dipped into that as early as round 4 or 5, but...
You can't have everything.
I'm just being really picky. And then really the amount of picks we ended up with. I know we were doing all those trades, but on the last day I was thinking they were going to package a lot of those to try to move up again. But they stuck with their 12, and we got 12 freaking picks. And the long snapper, of course. That was a pants pooper.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be around anyway this year. So that's like 11 guys. But yeah, I didn't think we were going to make all those picks either. I thought when we ended up with, what, 4 after the second day, that we were just going to put all those together, move up and get someone they really wanted. But, you know, maybe the guy they wanted just kept falling to him.
Just looking at you while I do that, it appears that you might be getting more hungover as it goes. I just want to be clear. You don't look well. You're starting to sweat. Undrafted free agents, not much to talk about except Jake Browning. Quarterback, Washington. I like that.
Yeah.
I think he was like a 9-year starter for those guys. He's been around forever.
I think you once called him a poor man's Christian Ponder.
Oh, what a compliment.
It's not.
Oh my God. All right. Let's give this draft class a grade. I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be some contributors here, especially with the early guys. But overall, you know, I thought we would have got a tackle a little bit sooner, a defensive tackle a little bit sooner, and a wide receiver sooner. So I feel like there were still some big need areas that maybe not were properly addressed or addressed enough. So I'm just going to give it a B. I'm going to say it's a B.
B.
Solid class.
Yeah, I think the fact that they absolutely nailed those first four picks, and then on the back end, quality depth, I think our offensive line is in a much, much better spot than it was. But with 12 picks, I'm really banking on one of these guys from rounds 5 on to be some hidden gem.
I hope so.
I'm gonna give it a B plus just because those first four guys, even if no one else pans out, those top four are gonna be huge. So I'm going B plus. And draft grades at this point are mildly irrelevant, but they're too damn fun not to do.
Oh yeah, they're super relevant. But yes, you said they are. They are a hell of a lot of fun. How about the Giants draft? What would you give them that?
I give the Giants draft an F, and if I was a Giants fan, I'd cut my dick off, I guess. Horrible.
That's gross.
They did get Julian Love, though. I liked him.
Yeah, they did. All right, so how about the division? Any team in the division that you were like, oh, my God, look at these guys they got, you know, frighten you at all?
Yeah, I think the Packers actually did pretty good. Rashawn Gary is going to be a boomer bust type of guy. Savage. He's all right. How about you?
Boomer breast.
Boomer breast.
The guy that worries me from the Packers is Jay Sternberger. I think he's got potential to be real thorn in our side with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. Other than that, nothing really scared me too much. Looking at the Bears, I don't know, man. David Montgomery, I got a feeling he's going to be our next...
He's going to be our nemesis.
Yeah, I think he's going to, he's going to be a handful. And they got Riley Reilly, too. So that was really two good pickups for them to not be drafting until, what, round 3. to land those two guys, I thought was a good job with the Bears. And obviously, you move to Lions, you know who we're all going to hurt Hayden. Who is it?
TJ Hockenson.
Yep.
Other than that, they really didn't do a ton. And back to the Packers quick, just they did get Dexter Williams. We talked about him quite a bit. Good running back depth. Kingsley Kiki. I liked him quite a bit. But Sternberger, and they got Jenkins too, the center from Mississippi State. So
you're going to be worried about facing the center?
He's pretty good. So Packers did pretty damn good. But when you put these all up against each other, I'll take the Vikings any day.
Yeah, I think I actually would, not to be a homer, but...
Yes, you're being a homer.
I will be the first one to say if I felt when these teams did better than us, but I actually, you know, I think the Vikings did quite well for themselves.
Do you think Rashawn Gary is still crying?
Yeah, I don't think he's anywhere near close to crying.
Oh.
I'm going to start crying. All right, so we'll be back sometime.
We'll be back later this week. There's always something to talk about.
Maybe we'll just talk about what's happening in the world.
Maybe not.
Maybe we'll talk about Vikings. Until then, hey guys, I said earlier, stay away from Alabama Slammers. They will mess you up.
They're otherwise known as bedwetters.